It's tea time again as an all-new season of RuPaul's Drag Race makes another lap. In this episode of COL Drag Race, Chester, Damon, and Gary spill the tea on the first two episodes of Season 9. Listen in as they gaga over this year's gaggle of new queens. So give them a cheer, queers, as COL Drag Race Tea Time Season 9, Episodes 1 and 2 starts now.
RuPaul Drag Race.
Hey, everybody, it's April 16th, 2017, and I bet you thought we weren't coming back, but,
but we're
welcome
back
to Comes Out Loud Drag Race Tea Time Season 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. We're recapping episodes 1 and 2. That might be the new theme for this year of recap Tea Time.
I feel in years past RuPaul has started in March, and I feel that this year we started a little later, and that is probably why things have been delayed.
You are correct. Last year we recorded our first recap show on March 10th, so we're over a month later this year, but notably the first episode I aired on, I'm checking my calendar, March 24th, I think.
Yeah.
So that means the actual airing was delayed this year compared to last year. So, yeah.
Okay.
But we're gonna try to do at least twosies, maybe like episodes two at a time or something. We'll see if we can get in the swing of things. We all got stuff going on. It's a busy time of year.
You know? It's been a busy time of year.
Definitely.
So anyways, for those of you that do not know, I'm Gary, and with me are my ever fabulous co-hosts.
Hey everyone, it's Damon. Hi.
Hi, I'm Chester. And, I said that without any enthusiasm at all. Hi, I'm Chester.
It's okay.
They know.
It's late on a Sunday. It was one of these like, hey, we need to do this. And thanks to some of you out there, well, not some of you, all of you who have been asking, posting, commenting, emailing, saying, where's my tea time? I need to hear what you think. So I'm like, okay. Because Jeffrey, our main producer for the regular show, was like, hey, when are you doing Drag Race? He's been really good. He's only asked about once a week on average. What's going on? So
that's all good.
Yeah, we're back in the swing. We're
getting stuff going
on personally. So we're just to jump right into it. I think we're going to do it a little differently than our normal first episode recap because we're trying to do two episodes and we don't want to run too long tonight. So I don't think we're going to do the whole breakdown of each individual, you know, contestant. By now, most of you should be familiar with the show, the season 9 episodes 1 and 2. Hopefully, you know who all the contestants are. I mean, we'll talk about them, but we're not going to do like a play-by-play on each person and their entrance and that kind of stuff. We're going to jump into more our normal things. Speaking of first impressions, so this is where we talk about what we thought initially, and I'm just going to talk in terms of the season, mostly in reference to episode 1 for me. Girl, that Emmy brought in the money. So RuPaul Charles gets herself a gold statue, gets an Emmy. And notably, season 9 seems to have a little more coin. So the intro changes. We've got new theme music type stuff with some audio clips. We've got a new stage backdrop for the runway style kind of stuff. I mean, you know, little things like that I kind of noticed right away. I was like, well, somebody had to pay for that. Very interestingly and creepily, there is a life-size statue of RuPaul in drag in the corner of the workroom. So,
yeah.
Yeah. I was like,
yeah, sure, but I think it has hidden cameras in it that aren't so hidden.
Oh,
we'll see. Well, that's a later thing. They talk about it actually.
Okay.
Yeah. They talk about, right. about it in the, I think they talk about it. No, they talked about it in the cheer. Was that this? Yeah, that was this. No. Never mind. Yeah, that was this episode. Sorry. I've got like three episodes in my head, and there's a fourth one on the way, and then there's a fifth one coming soon. And it's just like, what is what? Yeah, it was the, even was the second episode where they talked about the statue is on loan from Madame Tussauds wax.
Ah, okay. I thought it was a wax figure, but I wasn't sure. And see, I've only seen the first two episodes that we're recapping tonight. I haven't jumped into three and four yet. Because we as hosts talked, you know, obviously beforehand and prep. And I was like, you know, why don't we just do combos? And since I knew we were doing one and two, I was like, all right, I ain't going any further because I'm already going to get messed up.
Like, welcome to my world.
Which show is which. So, yeah, basically that was most my first impression that they seemed to drop a little coin. You know, they have moved to a new channel.
Yep.
So now, you know, we are not beholden for World of Wonder to only be going to Logo. And that's a big move. That's part of the reason it got moved to Friday, which a bunch of people were kind of pissy about. But then again, I noticed that gay bars are now officially embracing it as something to do on a Friday night. Like some of them kind of have before, but now I'm noticing more bars are like, you know, Friday night is RuPaul's Drag Race night, you know, come in and watch the show, get a drink. So
I will say, wait, go ahead.
Let me know. No, it's all right. Go right ahead.
Okay.
What's your first impression, Damon?
So I said no real changes other than network. And that's kind of true for me only because the formula is kind of still the same. Queens coming in, they have their entrances, they're queeny, they're bitchy, they're calling, you know, casting shade. There's a challenge that's thrown at them. And then they go on the stage and somebody gets eliminated at some point, blah, blah, blah. So nothing really about the show, quote unquote, is changing. And I think that's a good thing and a bad thing. You know, it's stick with what you got because it's obviously working. And hey, you won an Emmy. And now we're essentially to a wider audience. And the thing I was most concerned about since they were going to VH1 was that they would down a bit. I was a little worried that the show would lose that edge, that gay, you know, thing, because it was coming going to another, you know, it was going to major network kind of status. And I'm glad it didn't. I know we're only a couple of episodes in, but I'm not feeling been some issue. There's been some major change. There's still the twists and turns that you need to follow, et cetera, and have fun. But that's been my first impression, that it hasn't lost the edge that I was fearing that it would. So, yeah.
I never thought that it would deviate from its original way of how it's been programmed, because it's been the same way for 10 seasons now.
Yeah.
I wasn't worried about that. However, I have noticed that there are differences in the production value of the show, and not all of them are good. Mm-hmm. And because of the way that we've compacted these shows and the fact that we are now four episodes in, the points that I want to make are murky. And I don't know if they've happened in episode one or two or not, mm-hmm. but there is a specific episode where the queens come out to do their runway look and the lighting is horrible. Did you guys notice this? I want to say it's during the white party in episode two that everybody looked. They had this purple hue to everyone, even though it was supposed to be white. But it could be episode three.
No, the white party was in episode two.
Right. That may have been a technical unintended oops. I don't know how else to phrase
right.
it. I mean, the crew that does the lighting might have changed, because I noticed in the Untucked episodes that the staff seems to have changed that is working there. So I don't know if that means because VH1 is the delivery channel, if that affected any staffing. I don't know. Yeah, it's difficult to gauge, but that would be my guess, is that whoever was doing color, you know, for the lighting, probably presumed that they should go with probably just blue, red, and white for gels or, you know, colors or whatever, because it's white and they want to make it look vibrant. But the downside is if you probably put too much of a blue and a red, and they're probably using LEDs, you know what I mean? Like, it's right. it's going to cast that hue.
I think what it is the because it is a new lighting crew, they're probably used to doing different venue, or not different venues, but a different sort of cast. These are drag queens with specific makeup that has to be lit in a certain way. You know, we're talking, you know, bright white light right on their face, and now they're coloring the light and it just doesn't work. But I think it's a matter of they have to go show by show and then rewatch it and say, hey, that didn't work. We need to fix it. And then they probably will the later episodes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that could be. I mean, it's hard to say, you know, and the hard part is I think, you know, we've got a lot of skin tones to cover in this season. Yeah. So that can also be a challenge, because the white party is about white, and some people wore a lot, spoiler alert, and some people didn't. So I could imagine for lighting, that could be a little tricky, especially if they're not changing the lighting for each contestant. Do you know what exactly. I mean? As they're coming out on the runway. So I don't know. Interesting. Yeah. I hadn't quite noticed
that. I think it's just practical things.
Yeah. I mean, then again, I was laying in bed watching on my laptop, so I wasn't looking that close. So Chester, what about you? What were your first impressions?
Okay, so I'm gonna base my first impressions going totally off of the promo looks for the for the season. These are the high color, high key on the black background before they aired the first episode. And I was really excited about most of them, but did you notice that a lot of them looked like a look from her newest video? They all have that. And I don't know, one of the queens had said the name of this look, but they have this really high hair that's wavy, and it's really bright and vibrant for the colors. And it just reminds me of the Katy Perry video.
I will say this, I was most displeased with the promo shoot for this year, because I watched on YouTube, Raja and Raven did a promo review, like photo review, they call it. And they talked about it. And what I found interesting was they pulled the curtain back a little bit, and they talked about the fact that you pretty much spend one whole day doing nothing but those shoot, like that whole photo shoot setup, and that they get photoshopped to like as far as the artist can go, because one of the complaints was that Trinity Taylor looked like crap in her promo shoot, that she was just blue from head to toe, and there was like no delineation in shades or anything. But if you see an untouched photo, I think she looks better, because it's light blue with dark blue. I mean, like, there's definitely some differences of color. And the criticism was, you know, no offense, she looks like she's the same shade of blue from head to toe. Like, what the hell's that about? And she was wearing a very elaborate kind of, like, you know, layered, multiple, you know, bejeweled outfit thing, you know? So I was like, oh. And then, no offense, Charlie Heights had flawless skin in that promo, and I was like, everyone's talking about the fact that, you know, about Charlie's age, and I was like, well, that's a hell of a lot of plastic surgery if it's true. And now, having seen two episodes, I was like, yeah, Charlie does not have flawless skin. And I'm not trying to, you know, be shady against Harley. You know, it's just the reality of that promo makes you look like you have porcelain skin, and it's so nice. And that is not technically true. So that was probably my pet peeve about the promo shoots, was I thought they were a bit misleading.
Right.
I also heard there was a scuttlebutt about Nina Bonina Brown, that her promo shoot photo outfit was not the one that she brought or was planning to wear. Something happened.
And they had to loan her one.
Yeah, that's what I heard as a rumor, was that they literally loaned her that dress out of nowhere suddenly. So she had something to wear that sort of went with what she was doing. So I don't know what the hell that is. Like, now I was all intrigued. I was like, well, what the hell is she going to wear? Like, and why wasn't it there, or didn't make it, or I don't know, something. So anyways. So yeah, in terms of, so you think in terms of the promo looks, like, they were a bit too homogenized, like, as far as, like,
yeah, they all looked aesthetic. Very plastic.
Yeah, there's I'm looking at the picture now, and I hadn't, I mean, I looked at it before, but never really to an extent, like, critical eye extent. And it does look very glossy and not like, oh, yeah,
like, it's,
that's pretty,
like, it's intentionally looking photoshopped. Like,
yeah,
intentionally looking like it's been edited. Yeah, you're right. Glossy. It's just like a veneer of prettiness added to it. And that's why I said it reminds me so much of Chained to the Rhythm's aesthetic in that video, because everybody looks so put together and glossy. Yeah, it's, I don't know how else to describe it.
Right. I mean, I think. Yes. Raja and Raven did say that, like, that photo shoot's such a big deal because it's the first time anyone's ever going to see you, that they're going to have any idea what you look like when you were revealed as a cast member. So I get that. But no, they definitely are living this Crayola pastel, like, vibrant box of stuff. Like, I pulled up the pictures, or the big promo grouping, and I'm like, yeah, totally, they are screaming Starburst, Juicy Fruit, like, you know what I mean, like those bubblegummy kind of candy skittily, you know, color stuff. I mean, it's
sweet and saccharine and just drips with toothache. I don't know how else to describe it.
Yeah. In fact, it's funny because I'm looking at it right now and there's only one that technically stands out that didn't actually match the color scheme for the rest of them, sort of. So anyways, that being said, are we ready to move on to the next topic?
Yes. Yeah.
The thoughts on this episode, where, for those of you that are new to our show, we talk about the show overall and then anything specific that kind of stood out to us. So because we're doing a twofer, we're doing a duo. It's exciting and sexy. The episodes 1 and 2, this is my only statement. It's really a question. Sisters that get along? They so far in the first 2 episodes, because that's all I've seen, are really, like, nice and supportive. Like, it's almost like they've been coached into this season that, like, to keep the drama to a minimum, which makes no sense because people watch the goddamn show for the drama. Like, everyone's living for the memorable lines and the, you know, the backstabbing and all the rest of that. Like, you know, so not necessarily that that's my thing. I'm more interested in the technical stuff, but yeah, it's very intriguing to me. But I mean, Damon, you and I think, was it 7 or last year in 8, we kind of questioned that as well.
Yeah.
That there was this niceness. And right now they all seem to be, so far in the beginning of the season, pleasantly getting along with each other. There's not too much, like, in terms of being shady or bitchy or whatever. There is one particular contestant who has outright owned that they're going to be blunt or loud and honest.
Yeah.
So, and I don't
know. Does she have an accent?
Does she have an accent?
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out who you're talking about.
Well, I actually forgot her name for a moment, and that's awful because I should be able to remember it. I'm talking about Eureka.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
That's who I thought you were talking about.
Yeah, she unfortunately is kind of living the personification of a loudmouth, sassy, mouthy drag queen.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, big in personality, big and boisterous, like, kind of a thing. And there's nothing wrong with that. I just don't know how well that'll play into the future. Because right now, if anyone was to draw connections or parallels, which I tend to do in the very beginning of each season, she probably is being called another version of Mimi, I'm First.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Big girl, big boisterous kind of attitude. Yeah. So... Yeah. And that's the hardest thing that other people have already said in their recap shows, what little I've seen, is that that's unfair that everybody does that in the very beginning, that they start talking about, oh, this is the, oh, for instance, we haven't talked about the big surprise that everyone already knows about in the first episode. you know, what is the line? Oh, this must be the Derek Barry of the season.
Yeah.
And how, you know what I mean? Like that concept where we're just taking one person archetype and we're just going to transplant them over top of somebody else, which is kind of really unfair. I mean, if I was going to say that, I would say Pheromone is the next Derek Barry, but that's just being too bitchy because they're both from Vegas. They're both tiny. They both do, you know, very fishy, you know, type
drags. Yeah.
You know, impersonation.
Although, drag, I'll say this much. So. I am the biggest fan of Pheromone's name. I just love that name. It's when it. I love like plays on words. Like here in Cincinnati, we have a drag queen named Penetration. It just, you know, or it's just one of those things where it's like, oh, it just it. And well, Penny was on the show. But you know, it's just one of these things where like I love the idea that a name like that that kind of is a play on words. Like Courtney Act was kind of a play on Caught in the Act kind of thing. It's cute to me, and I like that. So
it's a pun.
Yeah, it's a very good pun. I agree with you. I think that's part of my that's one of the things I dislike. It's something that people do because it's what we do. We label, we put people in boxes to kind of figure out that's how our minds make them relate to him. It's like, okay, well, she's like her because she was on the show before, or this, that, and the other. Like, oh, well, this person is a combination of these two people. It sucks, but sometimes
that's
you do
just
it.
How humans are. It's the way we process and how we have to categorize and label everything.
Yeah,
it's gonna happen.
So,
Damon, what about you? What were your thoughts on the episodes? Technically.
padding for days like holy shit, like all the like I was Kimora came in with her butt, like this thing. I was like, oh shit, that's interesting in a not so good way. I was like, okay. And then when Miss Nina Bonina Brown came in with these thighs and ass, like it I don't even know how to describe it.
It's like she took two big giant hams and shoved them down the back of her pants.
Yes. And not even in a like having a butt. And if you're a small person, it makes sense. When you don't have a whole lot there and you're a drag queen, you kind of want to amp it up. And when you're a drag queen, you also want to amp everything up because you're, you know, it's a, you know, interpretation, a whatever, impersonation kind of thing. But literally, but it was so much, and I'm not quite sure how I feel about it yet. I know when it just, I'm not the queen that does a lot of padding, and I've done when I do drag, I don't do a padding because I'm a big person already, so I've got enough down here and everywhere to kind of work with that. But I've seen sometimes I think it's just a little too much, and when I get it's when you want that shape. Like sometimes kind of annoying. Like it's the first thing I see. And with Nina especially, it just looks so big. Especially because when she came in, I mean, I love the look, the Mouse kind of look that she had in her entrance. But those legs looked so disfigured. That shape just looked so wrong that it left the bad impression for me. So
I did not have a bad impression of it. It looked amazingly morphed. Like her ass and thighs looked unreal. And because she was representing a version of a well-known cartoon character, I thought it was very interesting. Like, it was definitely artistic and different. I had not seen that before. I was very impressed by it, even though I think it looked not quite polished enough. But that was where I struggled, and I was like, yeah, but that's probably the way she really does want it to look. So, you know, it was a little bit of a challenge. But I agree with you. In terms of padding for days, you could probably take all the pads from all these contestants and at least have enough furniture for a dorm room, if not more.
Yep. So much. In some ways, it's really, really good. And in some ways, it's not. Like, James Mansfield and her padding gave the right thing she was going for. You know, that kind of hourglass thing. But other times, I get that padding's important, and so for some people it's really great and you need to do it. But Chester,
what are you talking about? I don't want to comment on that, but I'm going to hold off to a later episode.
Okay.
So my thoughts on the episode were that it kind of goes back to what Gary was saying earlier. There's some big voices going on in this collective of girls, but I don't see any real personalities coming through until you watch the Untucked episode. Like, they're all kind of muted and very, yeah, like what Gary was saying, they're all kind of nice to each other while they're in the workroom.
Right now.
But then when you watch the Untucked, you're like, oh, wait a minute. That one there, specifically, she's loud. And like, she's stepping over people. And there was one episode where they actually called somebody out and said, you know, shut up and let this person talk.
First, it was the first Untucked, and they're like, Charlie trying to get James to say something because James was being noticeably quiet. And they're like, so how are you feeling? And she goes, oh, I'm okay. And then she didn't say much more after that. And it was like, that kind of shows something about you.
Yeah. I made notes about that. I don't know if we were going to get to it, but I had issues with how people were coming after James like they did.
And thing. Like, I hadn't seen the Untucked until, you know, and so between the first and the second episode, there was this sudden, like, one of the things I wrote down, calling James the underdog. And I was like, well, where the hell did that come from? Mm-hmm. Like, we just had the first episode, and y'all already, like, putting her in this, like, oh, she's an underdog. She needs to bring herself out more. We need to challenge her. And I'm like going, and then now that I've seen the Untucked, it kind of makes sense to me. But good Lord.
I think they all came down on her. And I think if if all of the other queens did not seem to jump on James like they did, James probably still be there. But it's kind of like when you're a kid, everybody basically picked on her. And that eats away at your self-confidence. When she went in there, she probably, her self-confidence was probably very high. But then when, you know, you're getting constantly bombarded with this criticism like she was, and people putting you down, and not in a constructive way, it probably ate at her.
Yeah. There's that.
I will say this, that this show is a gauntlet. Any weaknesses you have, they will come roaring to the front, whether you already know them or don't. And that's that is unfortunate that, you know, Damon and I in the past, and I think Chester, you would agree, like the first 4 to 5 episodes are actually kind of painful because you're like, oh, for the love of everything, would we really get to the competition? And it's not that you're not competing, but it's like you could just easily start picking who isn't going to make it because they just, they're not polished enough. They're not pulling it together. They're not listening to the judges' critiques, whatever it is. Like you're just like, ping, 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 ping. All right. Like, you know, once we get rid of the 4 or 5 of you, we'll be able to move on.
So I will say this, and since we're doing these two episodes at the same time, it kind of makes sense to me. As if you don't already know, the first episode, no one got eliminated.
What? So,
what? So
there's the twist of the season.
Yeah. So the very first episode, no one got eliminated, and it was like, oh, okay, well, that's nice. And they had this little pageant. They had this pageant, Miss Irvine Talent pageant, and in a way, it was a good thing, and in a way, it wasn't a good thing. It was a good thing because, hey, you don't have to worry about losing. All you're doing is pretty much self and maybe winning the quote unquote, you know, title. So yeah, you have that. And I was like, okay, that's cool. That sounds like a really great idea in theory. On the bad side of that, you're not, I think it gives you a false sense of security when, yeah, we're all kind of doing this together, but we're not really, there's no winner, but you still need to, so that then when the game officially starts, here you go. Like, you don't feel like you're getting pushed into the deep end, which I feel like some people were, and it showed. And it showed very quickly. Right.
Yeah. Anything else, Chester, on your thoughts on the episodes?
No.
Okay.
We can move into the
If we're ready, then, as I say, why don't we move on to Untucked? All right. So the last 4 seconds of that didn't play. I don't know what that was about. That was kind of funny where it cut too.
Done.
It was like the power went out.
Fuck you. I'm done.
Yeah, exactly. So much for my audio clip. All right. So for those of you that are not aware, on YouTube, for this is the third season in a row now, season 8, All-Stars 2, and now season 9, the Untucked episode is now on YouTube, where it used to be, gosh, Damon, it was online, or it was right after the show, wasn't it?
Right after the show. Untucked used to be right after the show.
Yeah.
They would do an Untucked, and then, yeah.
So, oh, that's right, because it was the, you know, Illusions Lounge and all that stuff. And they changed it up when they went to the web version for YouTube, which I think Damon, you and I were emphatically in support of, because it was way more documentary style and incisive to like what the hell happens backstage when they're waiting for the judges to deliberate and shit.
Uh-huh.
So So this is just, you know, what we thought about, you know, the Untucked episodes. And I did watch both episode one and two Untucked. But what's funny for me is I'm going to own this. When I went online, I could only find season or episodes 2, 3, 4. And I thought, well, why the hell isn't there an Untucked for episode one? And I thought, well, they didn't send anybody home, so maybe that's why they didn't do it, which is really kind of weird. So I watch Untucked episode two, and then soon as I get to the end, up comes the link for episode one Untucked. And I was like, are you real? So then I have to go back and I watch the Untucked episode one, which is what my comment is all about. No offense, episode two Untucked, bleh, it didn't matter to me at all. No, it really didn't make an impression on me. It was like just kind of there. However, the first one, my comment is Gaga masterclass. I cannot get over this. Is probably one of the highlight best Untucked episodes ever, because while they're all kibitzing backstage, you know, and talking amongst each other, and Eureka is showing her Putin nanny, and she puts a pillow over her. Which I was like, oh, thank God, girl, because that's really not the gift that you want saved on the internet of you. what? She's a big girl, and she's just, like, all cinched in and shit, and she, like, kind of, like, let it all air out. I was like, no. Put a blanket or something, and then I noticed she put one of the big-ass pillows in a diamond shape right over. I was like, there you go. Yep. Cover that up. Anyways.
First thing I noticed.
Oh no! So Lady Gaga comes back with a folder and has literally 8.5 by 11 sheets, a sheet per contestant, and does a critique with them—an honest to goodness sandwich method feedback session with every single person. Gives them a compliment. For those of you that don't know what the sandwich method is, because you've never done quality work, the sandwich method is a reference to putting the negative around, like, in the middle of, like, two compliments, basically. So you start off with a compliment or something positive that they did. Then you talk about the things that are areas of opportunity. And then you wrap it up, you know, with a compliment again. Trying to basically make the person understand, like if you hear three things, two are good, one not so good. And so you're not, like, obsessing that you just think you got, you know, nothing but bad news. And Gaga did this with every single contestant, talked about, like, you know, what her notes were in terms of, like, what made an impression, how she was moved, what she liked about them as their, you know, their artistry, their drag, that kind of stuff. I was so flabbergasted and just, like, on the edge of my seat, if I was sitting, which I wasn't, at the time, you know, just, I was like, this is astounding, because this is what they need. I think that shit should happen all the motherfucking time, but I know it won't. And I think that really put her in such a great light as an artist for Gaga to actually talk to them one-on-one. And, like, and she said, I'm going to do this in a big group thing. Everybody gets to hear the feedback. This is not a, you know, there's no mystery about this. And I was like, that is a person who has been professionally arts trained, which she was in New York. And she wanted to really kind of, you know, make sure that everybody heard the exact same thing across the board, and that there wasn't, like, this, you know, let me pull you aside kind of thing. And yeah, that was, you know, it was probably my highlight overall from the whole episode one chunk. When you put Untucked in, I was just like, damn, that's amazing. Yeah. And she was really just, I don't know how to explain it. She was spot on as far as I was concerned. And, like, you know, the reveal in the episode and talking to the girls and then, you know, being supportive of them. Like, there was one moment that I really enjoyed in the actual episode when you get to the end of the episode one. I don't think we've talked about the big, drama moment. So Nina Bonina Brown wins the Miss Charisma Uniqueness Nerve and Talent pageant.
Has this big long ass sash.
Right, like this crazy, because they wrote the whole thing out for television censors, I'm sure, instead of the abbreviation. And Rue, you know, it's her moment, blah, blah, blah. And then Rue does this, like, wait, stop the music, blah, blah, blah. She goes, and then she says,
Steve Harvey this.
Right. I'm not going to Steve Harvey this. And I'm like, but you are, aren't you? Like, what? So then she reveals that she's decided she's going to have a 14th contestant, and she's bringing back a former queen. So now I'm watching the faces of all the contestants because I'm thinking, is she reading a teleprompter? Because if she's reading a teleprompter, like, they're probably able to see it too. But they were actually genuinely kind of surprised. So I'm thinking that was a memorized, like, line. Yeah. And then, you know, the 14th contestant comes walking in and you get like a shot of their feet coming up the steps and you get a back of the hair. And that's all you get to see. And that's the end of the episode.
Just out of curiosity, who did you guys think that was?
I already knew who it was because the internet can't keep its mouth shut. So
No. I knew it was after the fact. Like, I was watching the episode and I was like, oh, okay, well, it was, oh gosh. What did I write down? I can't remember. Did I write someone down?
There's only a couple of queens that have short hair. Like, right. As far as, yeah, like, wearing short hair. And I knew with absolute certainty it wasn't motherfucking Raven. So yeah. I was like, yeah, nope. I was like, as much as she would love to come back and, like, kill every one of them motherfuckers, crown, you know, that's just not how it's going to work.
Now, that would have been something.
Yeah. So it was kind of a Shangela move. But anyways, my whole point about this is, I'm talking about Gaga. When that happens, Gaga literally is like, what the fuck is going on? Like, she puts her hand on Michelle Visage to her left, is looking to, like, Ross Matthews to her right. Like, she's gobsmacked. She's like, what the fuck is happening? And then, like, as this is getting revealed, she leans forward, puts her hands on the desk and says, breathe. Like, she's telling all the contestants, don't lose your shit. Like, this is a moment. Just breathe. Everything will be okay. Like, I was really surprised by that. I was like, wow. Like, that's a very kind of, I don't know how to explain it. It's a parental, maternal kind of, like, guiding, coaching mechanism to, like, let somebody know, like, you're going to be okay through this moment of shock and awe or, you know, whatever. Trauma, whatever you like, you know, kind of things that happen in a person's life. I was like, wow, that's pretty impressive. So overall, I thought she was pretty stellar, but the masterclass was the thing on Untucked that really kind of hit home for me.
So for me, ultimately, I don't really have anything really to say except, yes, it's online. You just have to remember that it's there. Just because they changed networks doesn't mean they changed everything else. Like me, who just realized 10 minutes ago that they're still doing Untucked. So so I've watched some of the first one and I haven't really gotten to the second one. I was really impressed with, like, the Gaga masterclass, but I'm not really going to talk too much about it because I technically haven't seen it. So, okay, Chester.
So when we were first creating the doc, I saw Gary put Gaga Masterclass. And I was like, oh, okay, well, he's going to talk about something there. So, you know, I'll just let them talk about it. But we're going to talk about two totally different things. Because what I loved about the Untucked episode was her speech when she first walked in there.
Oh, my God, that's me.
She sat down and she's like, look, I look up to my gay men because of... You know, when she famous she was and the stardom hit her, gay men were there for her. And she made a point to say, I'm not a gay man. I can't go through your experiences, so I can only live them secondhand. But I appreciate what you guys go through, and it's helped empower her. And then all the queens are, you know, they're praising her for what she has done for the gay community. And that was such a touching moment for me, listening to her say those things, because I've never really heard her talk about such stuff. And I was just like, oh my God, she's so down to earth. I've always heard people say that she's like that, but I've never actually heard her say those things.
I will say this, her speech did not move me as much as I think it moved other people. Because in the middle of that speech, you were paraphrasing, Chester, there's one thing that stood out to me that kind of derailed the momentum that was taking place. And that was when she said, even though I'm not, how does she phrase it? Even though I'm not one of you, I'm not a member of this community, I think is the way she phrased it. That really bugged me because she officially came out as bisexual years ago. And that, I like the whole thing just, you know, kind of went off the side of the road. Because I was like, wait a minute. Like, are we saying that you're not?
No, she specifically said she's not. She specifically said gay man.
Okay. I don't recall it that way. That's why I was like, well, this is a good speech. I'm like, wait, huh? Like, what happened? So I kind of got lost at that point for a little bit. And if that's true, you know, that she was actually making reference to them being a gay man, that's, yeah, all right, that's fine. You can say that. Although,
to me, technically,
her performance style is drag.
Yeah. To me, it was her owning up to the fact that she's in a privileged community. Well, that she's privileged in this community.
Okay.
She was owning up to the fact that she knows that.
Yeah, I think that I think that message was great. I just, unfortunately for me personally, I got trapped or caught up in the one thing where I was like, no, hang on. I thought so. Yeah. Anything else in terms of Untucked?
No, the originally I was going to mention something about Eureka and how they're in the Untucked episode and she keeps talking over people.
Yeah.
It's just other people are trying to speak and she keeps butting in to get one-liners in. It's not being helpful.
Yeah.
It sounds like she's just talking just to talk.
And sometimes that's the case, and that's the problem with some queens, is they just want to talk, to hear themselves talk. And also, they think that by being this boisterous thing, that they'll get the attention that they need or want. And sometimes they do, and sometimes they don't.
Yeah, I think... unfortunately, the time and the place to learn about your eccentricities of your personality on a reality TV show is not great.
Yeah.
And that's usually what happens for some, you know, competitors. And I think that's the case here. I think that Eureka may not be aware of how she behaves. Because I noticed that too, Chester. And I thought if I was there with them at that point, I probably would also tell her to shut the hell up. So,
yeah.
That was kind of a thing that happened, and yeah, it was hard because there was like an apology, and I think the apology was sincere, but the fact that it took a second or two to be said, even though it was pretty immediate, like I don't know. For me, if I was the person who told another person to be quiet, I don't know if I would have, because I think the words were shut up. I think I would have probably said, girl, hold up. Like, give the moment to the person. Like, you're kind of scene stealing. You're kind of spotlight hogging. Like, you know, to try to make a quick joke of it or whatever. But it's hard. Like, if a person hits a nerve, you know what I mean? And you're just like, sometimes you just, it's an automatic reaction. It's like, just like a punch. Like, and then after the fact, you're like, well, shit, I didn't mean to do that.
Yeah. Been there.
All right. Everybody move on to the next one, next topic.
Yes, I think so.
All right. Takeaways. This is basically what made an impression on us. This is really hard because I'm not engaged yet. My mom actually said to me, like, aren't you guys doing the recap show? And I was like, yeah, funny that I haven't watched anything. This was like 2 days. And the longer we weren't watching the season, the more I kind of didn't care. And that's so weird because I've watched every season. But, I mean, I watched, you know, Drag U. And, I mean, I've watched the various iterations and stuff. So, I think you know, back to that comment, Chester, you made about their looks in the promo shoot about how you use the word homogenized. Like they were all just so syrupy, sweet, sugar, taffy, cotton, candy, like fruit punch. You know what I mean? Like amped up.
Yeah.
I think personality wise, now that I'm watching them, I'm kind of like, nobody is really kind of moving me. I've got maybe like two people that are really kind of intriguing me. One of them I'm going to talk about. Actually, I'm going to talk about both of them in the next couple of topic areas. But outside of that, I'm kind of like, meh. You know, like I need to see more. I need to figure out, you know, what their motivations are, what's happening, and then maybe I'll have something to say. You know, as far as a takeaway. Damon, go ahead.
Yeah, I kind of feel you there. I feel you there, Gary. As part of my, the first episode this past week, and it's been on since March 24th. And it's one of those things where I was like, oh, well, why am I not watching it? And one of the reasons was I think I was kind of silently protesting its move from Logo to VH1. It was just one of these like weird little things. I was like, oh, it's gone mainstream now. It's not the niche thing that it was before. It's not ours. It's now theirs. And I was kind of feeling that, like, I don't really want to go. And then unlike other seasons, I just didn't feel as, like you said, as engaged or, you know, as wanting to watch it. For in a good sense, I've not really had a whole lot of spoilers like on Facebook or what have you. Not that I don't think people aren't watching or, you know, paying attention or talking about it. I just think that people are being a little bit more respectful and not being as spoil heavy with some of the stuff. Some things I did eventually find out, but I think mostly had to do with the fact that I'm four episodes behind, you know, so.
Oh, well, here's an interesting sidebar note. Episode one of season nine got 1 million viewers in its premiere night. And Logo, well, World of Wonder, sorry, was promoting that. And so there's a theory about how, like, moving to VH1 puts it in front of more people, blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, that's kind of interesting. But I'm going to wait till later and start seeing where the real numbers start shaking out. And then you can start looking at past episodes and see how that works. Because I totally agree. Not many people online are talking about the show like they have in the past 3 years. So I'm not sure what's going on there. Like, either they're not watching at all or no one's really having anything to say. And maybe that goes back to my, I'm just not moved yet.
Yeah, it could be it. So for me, so far, my takeaways are, it's really easy to get overshadowed right now. And that's because right now the pot is bigger. We've talked about this before in seasons past where now we had 13, we now have 14 queens. 12. Anyway, at this point. Therefore, it's easy to just get overlooked. And there, as we mentioned, there are some very strong in certain queens that can make it very easy for you to be like pushed to the sideline. The whole thing with James was pretty much what I expected. She wasn't that good in the first episode, and she wasn't that great in the second episode. So therefore, you know, it just wasn't that great. And I feel the thing I hate more than anything is that you're waiting for something to happen. You should never wait. You should always be on top. You should always be trying to shine. You should always be effort, and if you don't do that, then you're gonna get passed right by, and you might end up in the bottom, or you might be gone. That's just the way it is. Early on, I get the whole like you don't want to flash too early, but you also don't want to not spark at all, and I noticed it a lot more in this in these past two episodes, is that you easily see on the judges' faces and on the contestants that someone wasn't making that good a... James was not making that good an impression. She wasn't doing much of anything. Her runway look was so off the wall. Like, I get that you were trying to be funny, but it wasn't enough.
Right. I'm totally going to agree with you there. And I think what you're trying to say is she just didn't fully realize her character.
Yeah.
Is that what you're basically trying to say?
Yeah. Like, if you're going to execute something like that, they told her that in the second episode. Like, was it Shine? No, that wasn't Shine. That's, anyway. Anyway, someone told her, if you're going to do that, and I'm not saying half-ass it, but you're like, she didn't half-ass it. It just go all the way. Don't make that effort if you're going to do something. Like, if you're going to make this whole, like, Gaga is sleepy or whatever at the in the VMA or whatever, I forget what look she went for. Do it. Hell, sit on a fucking ground and, you know, fall asleep and kind of roll your way down the stage. I mean, just go crazy with it. And I don't feel it didn't look good. And when it didn't look like Gaga, it didn't give like a glamour that Gaga has. It, because they had the picture of her and then they had, I was like, what is she doing? Oh, okay, she's going to try to make it funny. But she didn't at all.
Yeah.
It wasn't funny. It wasn't cute. And I kind of wish it had. I was almost like, ooh, that could have been a critique right then and there. I'm glad they weren't judging. I mean, they were judging, but not really for like bottom. And then she just never really me. So it's easy in this. I think now when you're in the bottom, it's a really great time to overshadow, to overemphasize things and make things a little bit bigger than they were. So bad for her, and I think she was kind of lost, but I'm not 100% sure. So
yeah, I think that's fair.
Yeah.
So for me, I'm gonna completely agree with everything that Damon just said, particularly about James. And agree with Gary too that I'm not engaged with anybody yet. There's some queens that are kind of sticking out for me, like Charlie. I really want more from him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we'll get it. Same thing for a couple of the other queens. There's another queen that I want to see more of, like Kamora Black. I think she could be top three, but at the same time, I think she might not bring it. I think she might be too much in her head and is too overconfident. There's people like Bob and Bianca that are confident because they know and they can come off with that confidence and they're not being arrogant about it. I have a feeling Kimora might be a little too arrogant. That's all I'm going to say about that.
I hate that bitch. I hate her so much. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Never, I've never gotten that instant gut reaction, like, I don't like you. Like, and I don't like her. Like, I can put my finger on a few things that I don't like. She's fake. Like, there's a lot of fakeness, and not just, like, I feel like there's, like, fakeness in her. She was one of the ones that had the big-ass padding, and I was not a big fan of. And then on top of that, she wears the big, fat you know, the fake boobs. And she said she's had no plastic surgery and that those cheekbones are hers.
That shit. All right. So that's just a problem. Just an absolute problem as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. I don't know. And just
not buying it.
Yeah, there are personality things that are annoying to me as well. We'll talk about that in 3 and 4. But there are some things that I just don't say about her. And I kind of want to be like, why are you, what are you, like, for with James, I felt that there was something there. We even hear RuPaul talk about it. Like in her video, and she felt like she was over, you know, maybe she's overwhelmed by being in the show. It's possible. I can get that. But when I look at someone, I don't get why you're on the show. And it's not because, oh, maybe you're being overwhelmed. I feel like I don't see anything here that is appealing other than you look really good. Other than you're pretty.
Right.
That's it. You're pretty. And you're pretty here. You're not pretty in here.
Okay.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Sorry, not sorry. That's actually how I am right now.
Okay.
There's that.
Are we ready to move on to the next topic?
Wow. Sorry. Shit. I think I went on a little rant there. I apologize. That's okay.
You're dead.
It happens on our show. For those of you that are new to watching or listening to us, I'll do a little plug. So for those of you that are watching us on YouTube, we also do this as an audio version that goes out to our regular podcast listeners. And for those of you that are only listening to this, you could watch us and our facial reactions and as we talk to each other about what's happening. So, you know, this depends. Do you want to watch and listen at the same time or only listen while you're, you know, working or, you know, commuting, jogging, whatever? It's up to you. But yeah, so sometimes we go on a little rant. All right. If we're ready to move on to the next topic area.
Gentlemen, start your engines and may the best woman win.
All right. So we're going to talk about snaps and eye rolls. Give snaps to those that we liked something and give eye rolls, girl, for the things that we weren't really a fan of. Otherwise known as hits and misses, plus and minuses, whatever, pros, cons, whatever you want to call it. For me, I'm going to give snaps for Valentina. She's very polished. She, not so much maybe in her walk when she came in for her entrance, her makeup was a little not hot. But then again, I thought, Lord only knows how long she baked with that face before she got in to the room. So, yeah. But like aesthetically, look wise, like it was defined. There was no question mark about what the hell she was wearing. And because we're talking about episodes 1 and 2 for the white party, her wedding ensemble was like fucking on point. Like you cannot believe. I think she put Tyra Sanchez's wedding to shame. And that's sort of who she reminds me of. So yeah, I'm not sure what the whole story is there with that, but I think that specifically she's very polished, which gets me also to my eye rolls. Girl, my eye rolls are for Valentina and her, I've only been doing drag for 10 months.
Gary, your face is priceless.
I'm going to quote one of my favorite queens of all time who actually won fucking money. Not today, Satan. I don't know what the story here is, but you don't get that polished in 10 months. Sorry. There's got to be more to this. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's a scandal that's going to break later on. I'm not saying that there is. I'm just not buying it right now. There's it's like the only way you can get away with it is if you are surrounded by a team of people who have their claws in the industry and know a lot of things, including culture and stuff that could like manifest you in that way. Or you went to college for like fashion and design and artwork. I mean, it's like I'm giving options as outs, but I'm just.
Yeah.
Can't believe it. Can't believe in less than 1 year you are that good. Your looks, all of that shit. Because I think even Charlie Hyde kind of questioned and was like.
Yeah.
Huh? And some other queens, I think, were like, I've been doing this shit for a long time. So.
Yeah.
She gets both snaps and eye rolls. Like it's a weird double-edged sword. She thought she looked great. Also not buying that it's only been a year, less than a year. So not sure about the baby drag reveal.
Yeah. I get that a lot. I don't know how well, like really, really well. And I get it. There's this polish to her that doesn't seem like she's just been doing it for 10 months. It is, you said, it's entirely possible, plausible, that there's something else going on. Like there's some training, exercise, drag mama, sisters, brothers, cousins, aunts, nieces, nephews, and whatnot that are have guided her in such a way that she's able to do so well so quickly. I don't know. I'm wondering, and maybe there is something that could potentially come on sometime in the future.
Yeah, I will say this: John Pauly's last lap recap on YouTube episodes. I'm still a fan of. I think they're funny. They're kind of like a spoofy official review of what the hell goes down in the episode. He makes a comment about Valentina's confessional character. So notably of all of them, she has a defined personality that is on camera in confessionals. And I think I think Ray Smith or another one of our recent guests made a comment on Facebook, I think in the past week or two. I'm going to try to look it up. It made me laugh so hard because it was like, I am totally buying this like bourgeoisie, like French, you know, beret with an accent kind of like characterization thing. It's like a meme. Like it just cracked me up to no end. So there it is. It says, it's a picture of Valentina and it says, when you have to be a contestant on RuPaul's Drag Race, but you also need to direct a high school production of Macbeth.
Yeah, I saw that too.
Right. And she's dressed in like a black turtleneck with the black, you know, with the black, chapeau with her. yeah. It just made me laugh so hard. And I was like,
I'm laughing at it right now. Oh God.
I know. I was like, dang, that's something else. So yeah, anyways, some people are kind of commenting and saying that they're living for her characterization that she's putting on camera when she does confessionals. And I think that's very fair. I think, you know, Bianca in her season, Willem in his season, Jinx Monsoon, like they're and it's funny because I'm kind of naming some winners, but they just kind of have this thing about how they talk or what they do on camera that just kind of captures, I think, people's attention. And so right now, Valentina's, you know, being put forth a lot because not only is she like kind of entertaining and intriguing, but perhaps that's an indication of something yet to be revealed about her future on the show. I don't know.
We'll see.
So, yeah. So anyways, Damon, your snaps and eye rolls.
Okay. So my snaps go to for a couple of things. Something we've kind of mentioned, but not really yet mentioned. Payne is the queen that came back. at the end of the first episode. So she's back in the show. She's seen, as it were. We all know that she has some health issues. She had liver cancer, and she's in remission. So yay for that. And I'm kind of really, really happy that she's back on the show. She wasn't one of my favorite character, people from season 8. She's very affable and friendly, and I'm looking forward to seeing what she does this time around. The Phoenix story of surviving this, you know, very tragic thing and moving forward. And then my other snaps are to first episode. We've already noted that Lady Gaga was part of this episode, but I loved the her coming in and being this one of the last queen that came in, and she was Ronnie, and she was going to be like from Jersey, and they kind of played up on that. That was really, really cute. And then when they, you know, revealed, oh, this really Lady Gaga, the girls like gagged, and Eureka had a very, which is why I'm holding off on making some major determinations about her. She had a very emotional moment when she was talking with Gaga, and she was like, you know, your music saved my life kind of thing. So I was really, really, you know, snaps for all of that, because that was a really great thing for the queens, and just to have fun with it. And yeah, I mean, granted, when she came in, it would have been really hard to say who it was, because here are all the queens coming in, and then here comes this last person, and they're like, this is a really great Lady Gaga impersonator. Like, you know, no, it's not an impersonation, it's her. Like, and I kind of only wish that they had toned it down just a bit. Just a little bit. Maybe not the crystal visor thing to like show everything, but yeah.
You know what's funny about that look when she came in is, yeah, I got that it was all black and crystal.
Yeah.
But to me, it read as Cruella de Vil.
Nice.
Despite not having any fur or any stripes or spots, it still read as Cruella de Vil, especially when she got to the end of the room and she did her pose.
Yeah. And so my eye rolls are one girl in particular, but there's a few other girls that I'm having this issue with. Aja has some makeup issues, and they're not just, and it's really, I don't quite know how to put my finger on it. I know exactly how to put my finger on it. It's an issue with bad skin, or not well maintained or something skin. Maybe it's an before we started. There's, I don't know how to describe it. There's some few people, some blemishes, some pore issues that are just not, that are showing through in makeup. And in particular, and in the Tut Gaga mentioned it to Shay Coley, about how she's got too much makeup on, and it shows. Like, that's part of the reason why she has too much makeup, because when you look at her face as a boy, there are some other skin issues going on. And I'm not the one to talk about skin, because I'm not the biggest fan of my the textures and whatnot in my skin and myself, but I'm also not doing drag on a national now. So it caught me off guard, and it really, really bothered me, especially, and we'll get to it in the third episode where they show a little bit more about Aja. And I was like, ooh. Yeah. Cause it just looked, when she came in the runway or in the first episode, that was the first thing that caught me off guard. I was like, your makeup is terrible. And I don't know what made you think that was good?
I don't get the lip.
Like that too. Like, I mean, I get like sometimes you want to over exaggerate your lips because sometimes you don't have the greatest lips, but there's a little too much lip there going on.
It's not so much that she's making her lip huge. I understand why she's doing it. My problem with it is this part of her lip is a different color than this part of her lip. When she's doing that, she's not marrying the two. So it looks like it's two different colors.
Yeah. For some girls, that's another issue. Like, I feel like there's some makeup issues, and they'll get more into it in the third episode specifically. Yeah. But there's some definite like issues with makeup and products and whatever. So I'm just saying issue, and I don't like it. And I'm hoping it gets fixed. I don't think it will.
Yeah. Just. Okay. So my stats are for all of the personal stories that we've seen already, and it's only been two episodes, particularly
yeah.
Peppermint. He was talking about being beaten up in high school by.
Oh, yeah.
What was, if I remember correctly, it was one person, but an entire team was ready to beat him, beat his ass. Of it was her. That the whole school was there to support him after it happened. So I thought that was great. And then there was a portion where Cynthia had talked about her time with cancer and being in remission. And I thought that was mm-hmm. really great. So I'm glad that we're getting to know the girls on this personal level, well, the struggles that they've gone through. So my snaps go to that. My eye rolls go for Alexis and Trinity during their where you're from walk, runway look.
Mm.
Now, for Alexis, I'll talk about her first. The problem that I had with it is she had this white leotard-looking thing on. I think it was a leotard. But anyway, she had writing all over the front of it. I understand that she was trying to portray messages, which is great. Go for it. But if you're going to write on yourself, it needs to be legible, and it needs to be clearly defined that that's what you're doing. It just looked shitty. There's a reason why typography is considered an art form. And when you just take a marker and you scribble some shit on there, the message gets lost.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She confesses in... I don't remember where it is. I know I saw it. She talks about the fact that she knows that she kind of misstepped. She knows that the... Oh, I think when Gaga's talking to her. When she's getting her masterclass yeah. feedback, when she thinks that the issue is more about the fact that the execution of the, you know, the reveal from the, you know, the big dress back becomes this panel type mm-hmm. thing. I was really impressed by that. I was like, whoa, okay. That's yeah. making a statement.
Yeah.
But I agree that the words and that across her corset area and all that, it was just kind of a jumbled mess. And you know, it didn't execute the way it really should have. And I thought that her feedback from Gaga was like, you know, you would have been better off to pick one thing and let that be it, so to speak. So
here's the thing with it is I remember it said Black Lives Matter across the top, but I don't remember any of the rest of the words because I was so focused on it saying Black Lives Matter and how it started out really big and then went really small and it wasn't in like an even line. And it yeah. just, I was so focused on how terrible it looked that I didn't even bother reading the rest of it. And that, unfortunately, that's one of the small details that Gaga had pointed out to somebody else. Or maybe it was her. I don't remember who did the David Bowie Gaga mashup.
Peppermint did that.
Was it Peppermint? Okay.
Yeah. And so here's the thing that I want to say. Sorry, Chester. I don't mean to talk over you. The only thing that I found interesting about that was that Gaga critiqued her for, if you're going to do an authentic replication look, like, do it right. And it was so weird because it's like she said, you did this, 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 and this right, but the earrings, no. And yet the other judges were all like, if you had done the Ziggy Stardust, like, lightning bolt, that would have been perfect. And I'm like, okay. Anyways, sorry.
Yeah, it was just the fact that Gaga was talking about these small details, and she's absolutely correct. It was a small detail like that on the front of her that made such a huge difference to her overall look. I got so focused on how bad the writing looked that the rest of it was lost on me. Same, sort of the same for Trinity. Now, I know we talked about this before the show, but I do want to preface what I'm going to say is that I had a problem with her outfit, because when she opened it up, which was cool, I wouldn't have known she was from Orlando. I personally do not associate a roller coaster with Orlando. And you guys know how often I go there.
I know. I too was puzzled that a sunset backdrop with a roller coaster amusement park was her giveaway. But perhaps she was too concerned about copyright trademark litigation, because the obvious choice would be the Magic Castle and Universal Studios.
That's not what I would have gone with, but
no, I mean, like, if you're going to focus on amusement, entertainment, that's what Orlando is known for, then obviously a pair of Mickey Mouse ears or the Epcot Globe or the Magic Castle or the Universal Studio, like Grauman's Chinese Theater. I don't know, something like that's not accurate. That's in California. But do you know what I mean? Like, I was just like, nope, you could have been from fucking Sandusky, Ohio, bitch. Like that. That sunset with the roller coaster thing was just meh, not accurate.
That's what I thought when I saw the roller coaster is Sandusky. Is she from, you know, Cedar Point?
It was too generic.
Yeah, it was too generic. My thing was I did pose the question, you know, was this recorded before or after Pulse? Now,
yeah,
if it was recorded after Pulse, my instinct would have been she should have done something that's Pulse related. If it were me and my family was of the Pulse family, I would proudly display something Pulse oriented on that, on my outfit, to say, this is where I'm from. This is what makes me me to my family. Mm-hmm. I do understand that a taste factor has to be considered, because it can either be striking and memorable, or it can get very tacky very fast. And if it were me, just a simple white panel background opened up like she did and have the rainbow Pulse behind her would have been more than sufficient to get the message across that she's from Orlando.
So you had asked that before we started recording, Chester, about whether or not they recorded, if we knew when it happened. And to my knowledge, they always are recording the regular season of Drag Race in like late July, August. It's, I think, about a 6 to 8 week window that they do it. And I'm going to say it starts maybe around the last 2 weeks of July, last week of July, and then into August. But it could be a little later. Regardless, it was after Pulse. So the only thing I can think of is, for her, you don't have much time, from what everyone has said repeatedly year after year, from the time that you're told you're on the show till the time you have to be packed and be there.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it was something that crossed her mind or she just felt she couldn't pull it off, meaning that it was, you know, too hard to execute with the same type of reveal, you know, or perhaps there was a definitive decision to not do it because it was, you could get blowback for purposefully doing a heart pull. Do you know what I mean? Like an intentional emotional card being played. Does that make sense? Like, I don't know if the community would say that. I don't know if people would be like, how dare you, you know, monopolize a tragedy. I don't know.
But see, that's why I said it could either be very striking and memorable or it can get very tacky. That's why I said something very simple, like just the pulse outline in rainbow, because everybody knows what that is now. If you see that, you automatically think of the nightclub and what happened. So, yeah, she probably would get blowback, but at the same time, she'd probably get a lot of praise.
It could be a couple of things. I think, and I don't want to harp on it too much longer, but I think it could have been an issue of potentially respect or potentially disrespecting, and also it could have been a matter of they were not wanting them to do yet. It was so, if it happened, if they recorded in July, August, like you're saying, it had happened less than a month ago, it would have been a little too soon. I think it may have been a little too soon, and I get it, and I agree with some of what Gary's saying is that maybe they didn't have time, because who knows? Like you, if you want to do something really, really good, you want to be about it. You don't want to half-ass it, like the writing on the, you know, where it looks kind of, honestly, it may have been really well done, but it looked kind of half-assed because it looked like it was just written there literally like 2 minutes before she threw it on, kind of thing. And you maybe didn't want to do that.
There's thousands of reasons why she didn't do that. You're right. Maybe they had 5 minutes to pack. Maybe they got there and said, you can't do this because of these reasons, or maybe she wanted to do it and they told her no. I honestly don't know. But that's where my mind went.
Maybe later in the season that'll get revealed a little more, you know, and we'll have a better idea as to what the story is. Perhaps also, I don't know this with any certainty, where to say you're from versus where you grew up could be totally different things. Like, so for instance, if I was to claim I'm from Erie, I can get away with saying I'm from Erie because this is where I grew up. Even though I moved away, I came back. Where if you grew up, you know, I don't know, in Southern Georgia or Pensacola, you know what I mean? And then transplanted yourself to Orlando, especially as an artist, as an entertainer, having already come from someplace else, I think that gets to be a little bit of a question mark. People might call you out on that and be like, hold up one moment. You know what I mean? Like you actually come from here. You don't come from there. So I don't know. That may be another factor that we're just not aware of.
Right.
Yeah.
That's all I got for that.
Okay. Then I think, Damon, you hear something else?
I don't know.
Okay. We're kind of down to our last topic area before we wrap up, and it's closing thoughts. And this is just simply any final impressions that we have on the episodes. And this is really kind of my one thing that I got struck by from the promos all the way till now. I don't want to curse this person by talking about them, but I will say this. I think that one particular contestant really seems to be the package for me. I'm going to put it that way. Has a background in entertainment, seems to know how to sew, how to paint, you know what I mean? How to carry themselves, has poise, how to talk for the most part. And there was a little criticism about their personality, but notably an Untucked opened up and confessed that they have a flaw in their personality and was open about that. So that's what I mean. Like, I kind of think that they're the complete package and then some. But I don't know if that means for competition wise that this person's a threat and therefore the other queens will not be as complimentary as I'm being at this moment. Yeah. I think Alexis Michelle is a force to be reckoned with. I haven't seen some big missteps from her.
I'm looking forward to, she's one of the ones that is on my radar. I have a couple more, but she's one of the ones I'm like, oh, you're doing, she's not wowed everyone yet. She's not in the top yet. She's not won yet, but she's not like so bad that she's down here. But she's not like, oh my God, I can't believe you just did that shit. Like, oh God.
Right. She is not coming across like Detox in the All-Star Season 2. That was spot on perfection 98, 99% of the time. Because that's hard. Like, when you are that good, everyone is going to chip away at your shit. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And just like try to bring you down back to the pack. And I don't think Alexis is at that point yet. Mind you, we're only focusing on the first two episodes. And she's already had a flaw with one outfit. You know what I mean? And she's been picked on a little bit about her personality. But like I said, she owned it and Untucked and said, like, I know this is a thing about me. And this comes from an insecurity and blah, blah, blah. So I was like, wow. All right. You're not putting up a gazillion defense shields. You're not attacking back. You know what I mean? Like, there's some humanity, I think, to that. But that also says to me that she's well prepared. Do you know what I mean? Like, and notably, she comes from a pageant background. She owns that. So I don't know.
Yeah,
that's my closing thought. She's the one of the pack that I'm keeping an eye on, and I'm very curious. Even if she doesn't go all the way to the end, I think she's, no matter what, got a definitive career to come. All of them do, but as Rue and Michelle have said many times, including all the past winners, what you do with this platform, with this moment, is yours. Like, you could totally take your career and go in a certain direction, or you could just fucking fall down and kind of never be heard from again.
I am gonna totally agree with you about Alexis Michelle, with the exception of, you know, that her runway look during that where you're from portion. Mm-hmm. Now, as long as she takes that critique and understands what she did wrong with it and turns it around, then yes, I am completely on board with saying that Alexis is going to be in the top three.
Okay. Huh. Damien, what's your closing thought?
Right now, I'm at the point, I know we're early on, we're just in the first two episodes, but I need more personality in order to make some decisions on people. Most people. I've already kind of told you how I feel about a couple of queens, one in particular. Sorry about it. Not sorry. I'm waiting for those like shiny moments. We've gotten a few, but I'm looking for a little bit more. And I hate harping on that, like, you know, stop relying on certain things, but I really want some more input before I make some final decisions on some of these girls, or some at least initial decisions. Hopefully with more episodes, bottom, and feel a little better about it. I feel good that I've technically only seen three out of four episodes right now. And since we're focusing on the first two, I'm still at that point, even though I've watched episodes past this. I feel like I want more oomph. I want more, like, who are you? And when you have honestly, when you have someone like Lady Gaga on the show and they're so complimentary about you, it'll be interesting to see where that and the next takes you. Because I could feel, even though that was like the first episode, you can still take some of that stuff that she gave you and move forward with it. Need more personality more than anything else. I want to see these girls shine as individuals, and hopefully we will get more opportunity to see that.
Right.
Faster.
So for me, I'm gonna completely agree with Damon that I'm just not wowed. But then again, it's still early on. It's just, there's a couple of them that stick out for me. Go ahead, Damon.
Mm-hmm. Like, that's the way I feel about it right now. Like, there are some girls that are sticking out, but not to the point where I'm like, oh, that's great. Well, actually, no, that's not entirely true.
Like, I think Eureka's really good if she can check that attitude. Because yeah. I don't think Eureka is as good as she thinks she is, but she has potential. I think Alexis has got the potential to go all the way. And Pheromone, maybe.
What? I just don't. Actually, the person who sticks.
Go on.
No. You go ahead. You continue.
Oh, I was going to say, Pheromone and Aja, both of them, it's like they know that they could be good. They just don't know how to bring it up to the next level. Like, they're not polished enough.
Yeah.
And I really think that if they listen to the judges. Literally. And are you talking about Aja?
Makeup is terrible. I'm sorry. Your makeup is terrible.
It is bad. Girl, you know, sit by Valentina and watch her put her shit on.
Okay, for the record, Damon, at this point, I think you owe Alaska Thunderfuck $5,000 a quarter for as many times as
you quoted
her song.
I know, right? I'm sorry.
I agree with you. She has a journey ahead of her when it comes to painting. So, yeah, when she wants to beat that mug, girl, that's a saying, not a literal. There's some artistry to that. So, anyways, Chester, I have to agree with you about not being wowed. Even though I talked about Alexis, I'm not wowed. Nina Bonita Brown draws my attention, but she's unique enough that she makes me nervous that the larger audience won't like be supportive of her. So yeah, like that I'm just okay, we'll see where that goes.
Yeah.
And Alexis stands out to me, you know, like I said, Valentina annoys me because she looks really good, but then I question her background. There's a couple of people that kind of rise up, you know, like, you know, the fluffy cream and milk kind of thing. Like they're up here and the rest are kind of wherever or even at the bottom. But yeah, I don't know how to say it. It's
I know that we're only doing episode 1 and 2, and I know that people have seen 3 and 4, but I have a feeling that by episode 5, we're going to start seeing which of these queens are taking the criticism that they're being given and running with it. And I think in episode 5 and definitely 6, because we know Snatch Game's right around the corner, and that's usually the benchmark. If you can make it through Snatch Game, and you do well, you're usually somebody who can continue on.
It's a gauntlet challenge. I agree with you, Chester, that what I thought you were going to say is where my mind went. If you could make it through Snatch Game and be a top contender in Snatch Game, you're pretty much locked into top 5 probably, or top
and unless you six. Fuck up, Yeah, you're going to make it to the top five, probably top three.
Yeah. So, yeah, no, I agree with you. This season might go really fast. We might not be ready for how quickly it kind of evolves, like the eliminating type stuff. And then again, we don't know what's coming, you know, oddly, I've noticed that Michelle and Rue, when they've been promoting this season, even the Queen, no one talked about all the twists and turns like of late, like in previous seasons. So like people online are talking about how they like how fresh they're being with it, that they've made new challenges and they're kind of switching it up a little bit. Like, you know, I can mention this guy, that Lisa Kudrow just kind of appears and then disappears right out of the scene. I was like, all right, that's weird. I thought she would have been the guest judge, but instead it's the fucking B-52s. So, I mean, that stuff was pretty amazing. And so, but that's also going back to my original, like, first impression. Girl, that Emmy, it bring in the money. You know what I mean? Like, it brings the coin, and that coin is the celebrities, you know, like, that are kind of falling in line with it. Now, to be fair,
have you guys
the
noticed?
Celebrities have always been interested in it. Sorry, Chester. And Gaga, notably, I just want to put this on the record, I think has wanted to be on for over 4 years. And it took till now, last summer, to get the schedules to line up to be there. So, anyways, go ahead.
Have you guys noticed that the movies that they're showing prior to the episode airing tie into the episode? Have you noticed that?
No, but I'm not watching it that way. I'm watching it through iTunes. So,
oh, okay. Maybe that's why, because I'm got it on DVR, and my DVR is set up to record like 5 minutes before. So I'm always catching like the last 5 minutes of whatever's being aired. And I thought it was funny that Bring It On was playing before the episode where they were doing the cheerleading competition.
Yeah.
So that was really funny.
Now, then, that's a smart motherfucker that works in marketing and programming. That's what that is.
Yes.
Probably one of the gays. It is like, no, girl, I got this. Trust, like.
This is what we're going to do before. Here we go. Right. So,
there was something else, though. Here, Lisa Kudrow comes out, you know, to do the hello, hello, hello. And I was like, oh my God, Lisa Kudrow. I love Lisa Kudrow. She's in one of my favorite movies. And then it cuts to the commercial, and here's the commercial for Romy and Michelle.
Romy and Michelle's high school reunion. Yes, I saw that.
I thought that was fantastic. So, yes, you're right. Somebody at VH1 is on top of things.
Notably, Rue revealed for the first time ever where Hello, Hello, Hello comes from.
Yeah.
And it's from Lisa Kudrow's character on a show that I've never watched. But
I've heard of it. I've never watched it.
Yeah, I was like, oh, well, I got schooled a little bit. Like, I learned something I didn't know before. Because I've actually caught myself saying it sometimes when I've arrived at a place. And so I'm like, oh, could you be any more gay? Anyways.
He has said many times that that's where he gets a lot of inspirations for how he introduces people and where it comes from. Oh, who was that one that he used to them?
Oh,
I remember at some point he
Ivy
said,
Winters. Ivy Winters.
Do you guys know why I say Ivy Winters like I do? And he had explained it. Actually, now that I think about it, it was on the season finale episode. For whichever season it was, when he explained that's why he does that. Yeah. But yeah, he that's where he gets a lot of those things from, is because he's quoting movies or television shows or icons himself, just like everybody does that watches media content like this, pop culture media.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's rather interesting.
So, is that it?
I think we're good.
All right. So here's the story. That's the show for this episode of Tea Time for Cubs Out Loud Drag Race, our recap series. If you want to get in touch with us, lots of ways to do it. Basically, type in Cubs Out Loud, literally, anywhere. You can find us on the web at cubsoutloud.com. You can send us an email to cubsoutloud@gmail.com. You can find us at facebook.com/cubsoutloud. You can go to twitter.com/cubsoutloud. You can go to Google Plus, which is
the theme here.
google.com/plus Cubs Out Loud. You could go to Bear Underground, which is the official Bear social site online. You can join the COL group and say hello. You can go to iTunes if you'd like to. I know not many of us do, but if you do and rate us, that would be great because we'll read it and talk about it. If you use Stitcher Radio as your podcast app, you can give us a thumbs up there, which actually we should probably look into that because it's very hard to get those comments and feedback from Stitcher Radio, if I recall. Yeah. And any other platforms, by all means, like, you know, get in touch with us. Let us know. And I completely forgot what the phone number is off the top of my head, but look it up online. See you as a voicemail. Yeah. And get in touch with us. Basically, reach out. Touch one of us, talk to one of us, you know, something like that. And you can find me on the internets, basically Tumblr, Bear Underground, Growler, blah, 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 all that shenanigans, as GareBear73. That's GARBEAR73. And my co-host.
I am Theater Cup 79. I'm Bear Underground, Tumblr, HeftyNet, Growler, Facebook, etc. Or you can find me as Pup Umbra on Twitter. Pup_Umbra.
You could find me on Tumblr or Twitter under the name The Pup Up There, or various bear dating sites under the name Pup Shutter or Cupcake76.
All right. And with that, the new season has a new outro song. So we're going to be leaving you with the end of RuPaul's duet song from the Butch Queen album, Be Someone.
What?
Well, that wasn't supposed to happen, and I don't know. It keeps cutting out early. It's supposed to do a nice fade, but anyways, bye. Thanks y'all for listening and watching.
Bye. Bye.